Is there anybody, you don't need to raise your hand, but is there anybody in here that is disappointed? Is there anybody that's in here that has ever felt discouraged or you're feeling discouraged right now? And you don't have to raise your hand. You can if you want, okay? In seasons of our lives, we find ourselves disappointed with God, disappointed with our circumstances, discouraged by what we're going through. Let me give you a couple of examples. My wife and I kind of have this, it's kind of a joke. It was like birthed out of me being annoying, and now it's kind of become a joke. She used to ask me, like, if she could tell there's something wrong with me, she would go, are you upset by what I did? And I'm a words person, anybody like that? And so, like, if I'm not feeling upset, but I'm feeling disappointed, I would be like, no, I'm not upset, but there's something going on in me. And then she'd be like, yeah, okay, but something's still wrong. Are you angry? And I'm like, no, I'm not angry. And I would like make her, and finally she would just be like, you're feeling something, whatever the blank is, can you just fill in that blank, okay? Because I don't know what word to describe how you're feeling. Are you feeling some emotions from something that I've done? And I'm like, okay, now we're getting there, okay? So we just can just fill in the blank yourself because you know how you're feeling, okay? But let me give you a couple of ideas, okay? Maybe you're in this room this morning and your marriage is struggling and you are having a hard time believing that there's any hope of your marriage being restored. Or maybe you're in this room and you are single and you're having a hard time living in contentment in the season of life that you're in. You're lonely. You're discouraged. Maybe you are in a season of your life where, like, you have to decide on a career path. Maybe you're young and you're figuring out what your career path is going to be in the first place, and you're feeling all kinds of pressure in this moment, in this season. I got to get this right. I don't want to screw this up. Or maybe you're on the flip side of that, and you've been doing something for a lot of years. Maybe retirement's on the horizon, or maybe you're stepping into retirement and you find yourself looking back at life and going, what have I done with my life for the last 20 years, for the last 30 years, for the last 40 years? And you find yourself feeling regrets. Maybe you're feeling, a different anxiety. You're in a season where it's hard for you to see how God's going to provide for you. You have decisions that need to be made and you're not sure what those decisions need to be. Maybe you're feeling misunderstood. Like maybe somebody has maybe you've been betrayed and you have a close relationship and somebody, you feel like you've been stabbed in the back, the rug got yanked out from underneath you, or there are assumptions being made about you and they're negative assumptions. People are assuming the worst about you and you're feeling broken. Or maybe, you're in pain right now in your life and it's because of your own foolish decisions, or maybe it's because of other decisions that are being made and it's causing pain for you. You're not even in control. Or maybe you see the pain and the brokenness of people that are close to you and it's not your own pain and your own brokenness, but you see it's grieving your heart. You feel heavy in the middle of that, okay? And if that didn't cover it, fill in the blanks with whatever it is that you're feeling, all right? See, we have different seasons of our lives where we feel all kinds of pressure and anxiety and disappointment and discouragement, hopelessness. We all feel this way at different points in our life. And in these moments, this is what I want to talk to you about this morning. We're in this series called Matters of the Heart. And this is something that I felt like God was speaking to me in the scripture text we're going to read. It's something that God has just been kind of leading me through in the last couple of weeks, and I just wanted to share with you this morning. But in these kind of moments like we're talking about, and there are unfortunately myriad opportunities for us to feel the way that I'm talking about us feeling. In those moments, there are times where we struggle to trust God. There are times where we struggle to trust that He is who He says He is. There are times where we struggle to trust not only that He is who He says He is, but that He can and He will do what He says He can and He will do. And if we're not able to admit that we have moments like that, then we're just not being honest with ourselves, and we're not being honest with God, and we're not being honest with other people, because I don't care how long you've been serving God, I don't care how deep the intimacy you have with Christ is, all of us have these moments where in the tension of our lives, we struggle. We struggle to trust in Him. We struggle to believe in Him. And, you know, there's a term, the fruit of the Spirit. It's out of Galatians chapter 5. And what we struggle with is in the fruit of the Spirit, in Galatians chapter 5, we're told that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, these are the things that our life it should be getting produced in our lives. But if you know Scripture, you know that Jesus said, He said that I'm the vine and you, that's us, we're the branches. And He says, any branch that remains in me, that remains in the vine, that remains in God, will produce fruit. So when we read about like the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, all that good stuff, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all that stuff, that's not just fruit that we're supposed to produce on our own. That's actually the character of God. That's not the total of the character of God, but those are character traits of God. That's who He is. And when we remain in God, He will produce that fruit in our life. We don't produce it ourselves, but He works that fruit out in us. And in those seasons of difficulty that you're probably in right now, unfortunately, I think there's just kind of a steady flow of that in our lives. Sometimes it's greater than others, but more often than not, we find ourselves in challenging situations. In those moments, God is seeking to work out His character in our lives and through our lives for His own glory. It would be a blessing in our life, and then in turn, we put on display the nature of who God is through our lives, through our challenging moments, and the world sees that, and they see a difference in us, and they're drawn to Him. That's what's supposed to be happening. So we're going to read from James chapter 1 this morning. So if you have a Bible, you can turn in your Bible. It'll also be on the screen. Here's the deal. I was in a challenging season. I'm in a challenging season, okay, where I'm feeling a lot of the feels that I'm saying to you this morning, all right? And so there was one morning where I was praying about that and just bringing that to God and voicing my discouragement, voicing my uncertainty, voicing the struggle that I find myself in. I'm struggling to trust Him for who He is and who He wants to be in my life, right? And I felt like I was supposed to read in James chapter 1. And James is a great book of the Bible, and there's lots of really practical advice. And James chapter 1 has a lot of verses in it that I've memorized over the years. There's a lot of really good quotable stuff in the whole book of James, but James chapter 1 especially. And I started reading in James 1, and I just felt like I was seeing it differently than I had seen it before, and I just want to share that with you. So this may feel a little bit different than, you know, some of our teaching times. We're going to have some time at the end to kind of reflect on this and to put into practice some of this, okay? So I want to just give you some of the insights that I felt like God gave to me through His Word, and my prayer is that that God will speak to you in it through His Word. And I know that it doesn't depend on me, because we're told in God's Word that His Word goes out and it doesn't return to Him without accomplishing what He desires for it to do. And so I believe that God's Word is going to speak to you this morning. So James is writing to the early church, and he says this: "Consider it a great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials." Okay, now I want to just pause there for a moment, all right? Whenever you experience various trials. Now, first of all, you read this and you're kind of like, consider it great joy whenever you face trials. And you go, already our reality is being flipped on its head from how we typically want to think about things, right? But I'll be honest. So I read this and I know that in the era that James is writing, in the context that he's writing, there was actual persecution going on in the church. He wasn't writing to people who were living in cushy Western civilization. He was writing in challenging times. Not that our times aren't challenging, but many times when I've read this passage, I would look at the word trial and I would sort of categorize that as persecution, like being put in prison for your faith, having your life being threatened. And then I would kind of look at my own circumstances and I would be like, well, that's not me. Let's log that away in our memory bank for someday if that happens, then this verse would be more applicable to me, is kind of how I've always, I don't think I would have ever verbalized that. Here's a moment of confession. I have like kind of a masochistic tendency sometimes. Like I tend to be too hard on myself and then to be like, you know, you've not resisted unto bloodshed yet. You're fine. Get over it. You know, it's going to be fine. It's no big deal. You're not feeling pain. People, tons of people have it way harder than you. And I, you know, like I tend to, I don't know where that came from. Let's explore that a different time, maybe not this morning. Okay. I'm not sure where that came from, but I just have this tendency. So I was kind of importing that mentality into the scripture. So I would read trials as something much more deep than what I just described at the beginning of service. Disappointment, pain, struggle, until just a couple of weeks ago when I was reading this, he says, consider it a great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials. And then he defines what a trial is, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And I, for some reason, that just hit me like a ton of bricks, going, no, okay, so a trial is anything that causes me to struggle to trust God. Anything that's going on in my life where I find myself having a hard time trusting his character, I have a hard time seeing what he's up to and understanding what he's trying to work in me and what he's trying to work through me. And so all of those things that we said at the very beginning of service, all the different emotions that we feel and the seasons that we find ourselves going through for ourselves and for other people, those are trials. So we're supposed to consider it great joy whenever we experience various trials, knowing that the testing of our faith, knowing that finding ourselves in the tension of struggling to believe, struggling to trust, that will produce endurance. But endurance must do its complete work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. So a trial is anything that causes us to struggle to trust, which, if we're honest, is lots of things. That just opens up the door to there's all kinds of scenarios in our life, all kinds of circumstances that cause us to doubt the character of God, to misunderstand the character of God, to doubt maybe not the character of God, but maybe like, sure, God is good, but he just doesn't see me. He's just not... I'm struggling with his care and his concern for me or for those that are closest to me that I love. Any scenario that's difficult to trust. And the writer of James is saying that in the middle of that, that testing of our faith has the potential to produce endurance. And that's a good thing. Endurance is a good thing. Another translation says perseverance, to be able to persevere through those trials, through those struggles, through those testings of our faith. But survival is what endurance is. Like, to make it through with your faith intact, that's, you endure through it and you just survive. Anybody ever had anything like that where you just go, I survived but barely. Like, this season of life almost broke me, or this car accident, like I made it through it, but like my car is completely totaled. I just barely survived by the skin of my teeth, right? That's enduring through the trials, through the testing of our faith. But James says that the testing of our faith, it'll produce endurance, but he doesn't stop there. He says that endurance must do its complete work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. God not only wants to hold us fast in our faith, in our trusting his character, in our belief of his care and concern for us, he doesn't want to just hold us where we barely get through it, but he actually wants to add blessing to our life through that process. He actually wants to build in us his character, who he is, that fruit of the Spirit of who God is. He wants to put that in us and root it in us. He wants to do a work that's building us into men and women that more closely resemble his image, because that's a blessing in our life that makes life much more enjoyable for us, and it's a blessing to the world around us, and it's a blessing to the character and the nature of God when we live that way, when we allow him to do that work inside of us. So we read through this verse and we're going, whatever it is that you're working through, whatever it is that you're walking through, in the middle of that, what the whole point of this morning is that in the middle of that, whatever season you're in, God is wanting to do a work in your life. And you've got to understand that. And hear this, God is not wanting to do a work in your life in spite of everything that you're going through. It's not like God is looking at your life right now and he's going, well, this kind of caught me by surprise that they're going through this, but I think we can still salvage things. Like, that's not the way that God is looking at it, but that's the way that we look at it many times. God is looking at all of the issues that we're going through where our faith is being tested. He's looking at all of it and he's going, I see all of the good that can be produced, not in spite of the challenges in your life, but I see the good that can be produced as a result of the challenges that you find yourself facing. And that in the brokenness that you find yourself in, if we'll allow him to, God can redeem it. God can redeem the pain of our lives, even what feels like it's not redeemable. God can take it and he can turn it for his good and not only give us what we need to survive and to make it through, but to actually come out on the backside with more of his character, more of his goodness, being rooted more deeply in an understanding of who he is and in an assurance of who he wants to be in us and through us for the world around us. This is what God wants for us. So I was actually in this room praying and then reading through James 1. So I walk when I pray because otherwise I fall asleep. Is that bad? Should I not say that? Okay. So I walk, and so I pace back and forth, and it's not because I'm antsy, although I can be kind of antsy, but literally it's because if I kneel, I'm on a very short window before I'm just going to end up like, you know. So I'm walking back and forth, and I'm reading from James as I'm walking, and I'm reading this verse, and it's hitting me as I'm struggling with challenge, as I'm struggling to understand the character of God in certain situations in my life, that God is wanting to work something in my life in the middle of this challenge, in the middle of this struggle. So then I keep reading. Verse 5. Now, again, we're in this theme of trial, of struggle, of, you know, the testing of our faith. And the writer continues, he says, now, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives to all generously and without criticizing, and it will be given to you. But let them ask in faith without doubting, for the doubter is like the surging sea, driven and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. An indecisive person is unstable in all their ways. Okay, so I'm reading this, and it's about trials and testing of our faith. And then he goes right into it. He goes, listen, God's wanting to work endurance, but not only endurance. He's wanting to make you mature and complete, not lacking anything. He's actually wanting to produce beauty in our lives in the middle of the challenge. And then he goes, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God. And I'm going, okay, so that's what that means. When I find myself sitting in a challenge and I'm struggling to trust, and I don't know how to navigate this, and I don't know what God is trying to work in me or what he's trying to work in the people around me. And instead of floundering in that and sitting in that tension and wallowing in that and letting that chip away at my faith and chip away at my relationship with God, that should be causing me to turn to him. So the challenges in my life can either be, and this is true for all of us, the challenges in our lives can either be a wedge that's driven between us and God. And the deeper we get into the challenges, the more it pushes us away from God. We choose to, not that the challenges can actually do that, but we choose to turn and walk away from him. We're confused and we don't understand what's going on, so we turn and we walk away. Or it can be a wedge on the backside of us. And that wedge of the challenge, it's pushing on us and it's driving us closer and closer and deeper into the nature and the character of God. And James, the writer of James, is saying, let it do that one, not the first one. So if any of you is lacking wisdom, ask God. Go to God. And again, I'm kind of mean to myself sometimes. I struggle with the concept of grace. I feel like I should just have it all together and I should know it all and understand it all and be able to do all the right things and not make any mistakes. I feel like that about myself. And so I read that into the scripture. And so many times I'm thinking that's failure for me to have to ask God how to do something. That's failure for me. Yeah, which is laughable, okay? Because that's not reality. But to see that in plain sight on the pages of scripture, that I love the word that's even used here. In the NIV, it says that he gives to all without finding fault. In this translation that we're reading from this morning, it says that he will give to all generously and without criticizing. And I just go, so in my brokenness, in my pain, in my challenge, if I'll turn to God and ask him to give me wisdom, he doesn't meet me with finger wagging going, are you kidding me? You don't have this figured out yet? Are you kidding me? You're still struggling with these infantile things in the faith? Are you kidding me? I haven't proven myself to you enough. You're still struggling to trust me. You still don't see what I'm up to. He doesn't meet us with criticism. He meets us with generosity. He meets us with wisdom. He meets us by giving us perspective, his perspective. And it's not about us trying to figure out in with my eyes and what I can see in my own life and what is God up to, but it's about saying, God, his wisdom is us going, elevate my perspective to your perspective. Perception is what you get when the boots are on the ground. Like you're on eye level with everything that's going on. You're perceiving what's going on in your life. That's what you're seeing. Perspective is what you get from a helicopter, from an aerial view, right? And so God's wisdom is not just perception so we see with our own eyes what's going on, but it's actually zooming out to God's perspective of the big picture. It's him seeing all the pieces that are moving and what his plan is in all of this. God's wisdom is giving us his perspective in our lives, in our situations, whatever it is that we're going through. And this verse is saying, turn to God. Let your challenges and the testing of your faith drive you deeper into God, calling out to God, asking, God, I do not see what you're doing. I do not understand. I'm struggling to understand how this jives with your character. I'm struggling to understand what you're trying to produce in my life. Give me wisdom. Give me your perspective. And when we do that, God will meet us generously. He will give us his perspective. He won't meet us with criticism and with judgment. And then he talks about doubting and not being double-minded, and all that's saying is you have to come to God believing that he's going to be who he says he is, believing that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. And so you go to God and you got to have faith. You got to believe that, listen, in the middle of this, and I'm struggling with faith, I'm struggling with trusting, in the middle of all this, I'm going to come to you, God, and I'm going to believe that you're going to give me wisdom, that you're going to give me the perspective that I need. I'm going to come expecting from you. I'm going to come expecting from you. And then you skip a couple of verses, and he's still talking about trials. He's still talking about the testing of our faith. So again, think about trials like that. Anything that challenges us to trust in God or to see his care and his concern for us or for the world around us. He says, a person who endures trials is blessed, because when they pass the test, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Now, so you get in the first James 1, 2 through 4 that we first read, and then this verse 12 that we just read, you get the fact that God is actually wanting to bless you. Here in this verse, he's saying, we're going to receive the gift of eternal life. There's going to be eternal blessings that come because of living life in this way. But in the earlier verses, he wasn't talking about just the eternal life kind of blessing, like after I die someday in heaven. It was to leave us mature and complete, not lacking anything now, today. And so you get perspective in this, that when we're going through challenges, if we will allow them to drive us deeper into God, that what will happen is we receive the blessing of God in this life. He fills us up with all of the good of who he is now. And there's a reward on the back end of it when we die, when we're face to face with him, standing in his presence in heaven one day. All right, so we receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. No one undergoing a trial, again, any testing of your faith, should say, I am being tempted by God. For God is not tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are drawn away and enticed by their own evil desires. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death. Okay, so this is linked here. We're talking about trials. We're talking about testing of our faith. And in the beginning, he's saying, if you endure, if you'll allow God to help you endure, you'll endure and he'll put all this good into you. God is working things out for his good, for your good, for the good of the world around you through what you're going through right now. But he shifts gears here and he goes to the flip side of things, to the negative side of things. And he goes, in those moments, again, it's the wedge. It's either going to drive you away from God or it's going to drive you to God. And he starts laying out what happens when the wedge of our challenges, of the testing of our faith, we allow it to drive us away from God. That what happens is we're tempted to start seeing things with our own perspective. We're tempted to start making assumptions about the character and nature of God based off of only our experiences and only our circumstances instead of the truth of the Word of God. And what happens in the middle of that is we begin to be tempted to put ourselves at the center of the story instead of God at the center of the story. And he says, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death. And so what we have here is, listen, there is an opportunity to be established in the life that you're in right now, in the circumstances that you're in right now. And we're posed with this opportunity every day and then through hundreds of moment-by-moment opportunities throughout every day. And that is the opportunity to either be established in sin or the opportunity to be established in righteousness. Over and over and over again. And the trial, the testing of our faith is like this proving ground over and over again where we face these challenges to our relationship with God. And in those challenges, they'll drive us to him or they'll drive us away from him. So I want us to take a little bit of time here this morning in just a minute. We're going to have some questions that we put on the screen, and I want you to take some time to reflect. But before we do, you know, this a few verses after what we just read, verse 22 through 25, the writer James is talking about the importance of the Word of God. And you don't need to put it up there, Steve, but you can go back and read James 1 on your own, but just make a note. He talks about the importance of not only hearing the Word of God, but doing what you're hearing. And what that means is, you know, God's Word is how we understand the character and the nature of who God is. And so in this struggle that we find ourselves in, this our faith being tested, and this opportunity to be established in righteousness or established in sinfulness, this opportunity for God to work his character in and through our lives, or the opportunity for us to just dive deeper into our own human, our own flesh nature, we have that opportunity. The key in that, part of the key, is God's Word. Because we have to understand not only who God is, but not only hear the Word of God, but actually do it. Allow the reality of who God is through his Word to get so ingrained in who we are that it fleshes itself out. We act on God's Word. We're shaped by God's Word. God's Word is producing in us fruit after his nature. So we can't expect to understand God's nature and make it through the challenges and the testing of our faith that can produce endurance and can leave us mature and complete, lacking nothing. We can't expect to do that without a healthy dose of getting in God's word, understanding who he is, like submerging ourselves in him. Marinating. I love that word. Marinating on in who God is, in his goodness, and letting all of who he is soak into us in the middle of what we're in. It's got to be through God's word. If you're not in God's word, get in God's word. You need to get in God's word. And as you do that, if you'll allow it, God will get into you through his word, and he'll change you from the inside out. So here's what I want us to do. Steve, you want to put those questions up? There's a bunch of questions, all right? I want to read through these, and we're just going to play some music. Actually, if you can, Cody, can you bring the lights down a little bit too? Here's what I want us to do. These are questions when we talk about if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who will give generously to all of us without criticism. These are some questions that I came across recently on this kind of journey in this season. I heard a teacher teaching, not on this text, but on something else, and he had these questions, and I thought, these are really, really good. These are questions that help me reframe not my perspective, but God's perspective, okay? So these are questions that you're going to ask of God, or you're going to ask of yourself. So you're asking God, who or what do you want to be for me now? In the challenge that I find myself facing, in the struggle to believe and to trust God, God, who do you want to be for me in this situation? What aspect of your character or your nature are you wanting to put on display for me in my life right now? Okay? What new mindset or what new lenses should I be viewing this situation through? I'm looking at it in this one particular way, and all I'm seeing is disappointment and pain. God, how should I be looking at this right now? What are you wanting to work in me? What are you wanting to do in me? Next question, which fruit of the Spirit would be most beneficial for me in this situation? Which fruit of the Spirit would be most beneficial for me in this situation with this person? Which fruit of the Spirit do you want in this person's life for this leg of my journey? Okay. What aspect of your goodness is challenging me at this time? I'm having a hard time believing in this part of your goodness, in this part of your nature. And where do I need that to show up in the situation? I'm struggling to trust your provision. How do I need that to show up in the situation? And then finally, what are you growing in me at this time? Questions like this can help us reframe things and understand that God is at work in our lives. He's at work in our lives if we'll create the space and allow the challenge to not divide us, but to drive us deeper into him. So let's take a little bit of time this morning. I don't know what you're dealing with, but I'm assuming you're probably dealing with something. So let's take a little bit of time and let's just ask God these questions. Let's ask him to speak to us, and let's go to him like the writer of James says, not being double-minded, but coming to him going, God, you say that you'll respond in generosity and not criticism. I'm going to take you at your word. Can you give me your perspective in this situation? Can you work out your purposes in me now? Let's give him some space to do that, and then we'll close in prayer together. God, we come to you this morning, Lord, just acknowledging our need for you, acknowledging not only the pain that we might be feeling or the tension that we might be sitting in or the struggle that we're walking through, but God, we come to you this morning acknowledging that you are desiring to do a deep work in us in the middle of what we're in right now. God, that you have the vision and the power to take what is painful for us and to work it into something beautiful in our lives and through our lives. And so, God, we acknowledge that this morning. We give permission for you to do that this morning, and we go even further than permission, God. We're coming to you asking you for wisdom, God. We're asking for you to reframe, to give us your perspective. God, whatever your character that you're trying to work in our lives and through our lives, whatever gifting you're trying to stir up and fan into flame, whatever good thing you're causing to take root or you're wanting to cause to take root in our lives right now in this season, God, we give you permission. We ask that you would not only give us endurance to make it through with our faith intact, but God, that you would make us mature and complete, not lacking anything, that we would see the blessing of our God in our lives and through our lives. So God, somehow work what we're going through for our good, for the good of those around us, for your good and for your name and for your renown. And give us the right perspective, God. We love you. God, I pray for comfort for anyone that's in this room right now that's struggling through a season like this and they feel overwhelmed by it. God, would you meet with them in their pain, meet with them in their discouragement, meet with them in their loneliness. God, we're praying for intimacy with you. God, that's what we're asking for. Do that work in our lives as a community, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I know that this stuff is not easy for us, but it's necessary. And it is good on the back end of it when we can allow God to do this work in us. So I want to thank you for being here this morning. And we're going to keep moving in this Matters of the Heart series next week. And we got some good stuff in store for you next week. And I'm excited about it. So we'll see you back here. Have a great week.